You will please open your Bible to Matthew chapter 24. This morning I have a message, one dealing with the end times. It's a message of admonition and exhortation. And if I could entitle this message anything, I would entitle it, Be Ready. I'm not preaching from Matthew 24, but I will start here. I'll actually be preaching from Matthew chapter 25. But we need to start in Matthew chapter 24. I need to lay the groundwork for the message. I want you please to notice with me right at the very beginning of the chapter, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Now this is what Jesus said. Do you see all these things, he asked? I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. Now verse 3 is a very important verse. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? When will what happen? What he said in verse 2, that is, that the temple will be destroyed. Not one stone will be left upon the temple in Jerusalem. And what was question number 2? What will be the sign of your coming? And question number 3, and the end of the age. Okay, now Jesus answers these three questions that are cited in verse 3 throughout the rest of Matthew chapter 24, and also chapter 25. Did you know that Matthew chapter 25 is a continuation of his answer to those three questions? It is. Matthew chapter 25 and Matthew chapter 24 go hand in hand, and he's answering these three questions. I was seeking the Lord about what exactly it is that he would have me preach on this morning, and I felt that he was leading me in this type of a message, and I came over here to Matthew chapter 24. And I never seen this ever before. I was reading through a particular Bible that I have that's not marked up quite as much as this one. And I kept seeing the words, at that time, at that time, at that time, at that time. Four times it's recorded in Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25. Three in chapter 24 and once in chapter 25. And I took another close look at this, and it hit me for the very first time that chapter 25 and everything that Jesus said in chapter 25, it relates right back to these questions. Even though I read that over and I knew that was so, it just never hit me the way I just recently seen it. I'm going to say something this morning later on. I guarantee that it will grab your attention. I can guarantee that if there's ever a part of the Bible that's appropriate for us, that's very timely, it has to be chapters 24 and 25. Jesus said, and I'm not going to take the time to read the whole chapter, chapter 24, but Jesus said that we're going to have to watch out for deception. One of the very first things he said was the fact that many people would be deceived. Now listen to this. I want you please to listen very carefully. He said that because of deception, through false prophets, many would be deceived. He did not say few would be deceived. He said many would be deceived. He's talking about our day and age. And then he said, in the same chapter, because of false Christ, many would be deceived. Okay, so you have many being deceived by false prophets. You have many being deceived by false Christ. And then over here in verses 9 and 10, Jesus said, you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other. Okay, so again, we see the word many. And did you know that Jesus said that many would turn away from the faith? The Bible certainly teaches one of the signs of the end times is apostasy. And this particular chapter, verses 9 and 10, sets it down as clear as a crystal. Many people would turn away because of persecution. So now you're getting a rough idea about how perilous these days are. Much false doctrine. Obviously, false doctrine would come through false prophets and false Christ. Jesus already said many would be deceived by each type. And then here he said many would turn away from the faith and betray and hate one another. Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars. Did you know Jesus prophesied all that? And by the way, he said in verse 6, see to it that you are not alarmed when you hear of wars and rumors of wars. Jesus said, see to it that you're not alarmed. So don't be frightened. He said these things must happen. He said there would be famines and earthquakes. And he said in Verse 12, because of the increase of wickedness, he said the love of most would grow cold. Because sin would abound, love would grow cold. Now that's what Jesus said. In verses 37 through 39, still laying the introduction to my message, Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, the wicked people were oblivious to their own danger, so it will be when he returns. They will be oblivious to the destruction that's about to fall upon them. That's what Jesus said. Okay? Now that, in a nutshell, is what Jesus said in chapter 24. Now, I want you please to notice verse 45 of Matthew chapter 24. Jesus spoke here of two types of servants. He spoke here of a faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of his household to give them, that's his other servants, their food at the proper time. And then he goes on and he tells us in verse 48, and he said this, suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We get some idea, just what Jesus is saying. Please bear in mind that he's still talking about the sign of the end of this age and his return. He's still talking about, he's still answering the same three questions that we seen in verse 3 of Matthew chapter 24. He's saying this will happen. He's saying right here that people will become violent and worldly. Now these are people that once were servants. I'll be preaching from Matthew chapter 25 verses 1 through 13, the parable of the 10 virgins. But before I do that, I want you to jump over to verse 14 of Matthew 25. And again, Jesus is still talking about the end of this age and his return. And then he spoke, starting at verse 14, he's talking about the parable of the talents, that talents were handed out to servants. One servant got five, another got two, and another got one. And they were held accountable. And God wants us, just like we see right here, he wanted them to do something with their talents. The one with five gained five more, one with two gained two more, one with one never did anything. The one with one never did anything with their talents. The one with the least never did anything with theirs. Never did anything. And you know why? The Bible tells us because that servant was fearful. And did you know that fear is not a justifiable excuse? It's not a justifiable excuse. Jesus described that fearful servant that only had one talent as being, listen, lazy and wicked. And we find out in Matthew chapter 25, verse 30, this is what will happen to that servant that never used their talent. Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what Jesus said. Now, this is still applying to the answer to those three questions. He's talking about the end of this age. In other words, people will be slothful, lazy. That would be one of the characteristics of our age, slothfulness and laziness. But I want you to see that they weren't all slothful and lazy. The one with five went out and gained five more. One with two went out and gained two more. But we see that some are wicked and lazy. They are slothful, didn't do anything because of fear. With all that, I want you to see what Jesus said in chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Now, this is what I'd like to preach on this morning. And I want you please to notice the first three words. I'm reading from the NIV. I know in the King James and some other translations, it reads slightly different. But in the NIV, it says, at that time. Now, he's still talking about a continuation from chapter 24. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. Now, this applies to us. This is really the day and age that we're living in. Right now, this is us. We'll be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, And they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." Verse 13, this is the one. "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Be ready, Jesus said. Keep watch. In this parable, we find out that Jesus said there were 10 virgins, and all 10 had something in common. They had a number of things in common. Number one, I want you to know they all believed there was a bridegroom. And they all were ready at one point in time to meet the bridegroom. All 10 of them. You know how I know that? Because they all had a lamp. It was all lit. They all had a fire for God. And they were all interested in meeting the bridegroom. They went out to meet him. They loved his appearing. You know, the Bible tells us that's one of the signs of being a Christian. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, that was one of the characteristic signs of the early church. The same we see in 1 Corinthians 1, 7. And there will be a crown given out to those that love the Lord's appearing, the crown of righteousness. I believe all 10 of these virgins were ready to marry the bridegroom. The bridegroom's Jesus. And we're his bride, the Christians. This is referring to us. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. You know, I've seen that, and this is what hit me. Jesus said 50% were foolish. 50% their lamps burn out. 50%. Jesus never said 2 were foolish and 8 were wise. He never said 1 was foolish and 9 were wise. He said 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. 50%. 50%. And I knew that if you would have asked me to summarize this parable, I would have been able to give you the essence of the whole thing without even looking at the Bible a week ago. And I did never notice that Jesus made the statement here that 50% of the people, their fire would burn out for the Lord before he would come. And that's exactly what he said. And that's what we need to notice. Why did the fire go out? Well, why were the wise virgins wise? Why were the foolish virgins foolish? The Bible tells us that the wise virgins did something the foolish virgins did not do. They had foresight. They looked ahead and thought, well, maybe Jesus will come later than some think. Now, I want you to grab hold of this. Now, listen to me. Listen. That is the message in the tail end of Matthew chapter 24. The reason the servant became wicked, he became violent and worldly, because he said himself, "My master is staying away a long time." You know, he's been gone a long time. A lot longer than what I thought. A lot longer than I anticipated. And then he began to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. We find out what happens to him in verse 51. But the whole issue is, we see that not only at the tail end of 24, we see that also again in Matthew chapter 25. So I'd like to say this. Nobody knows the day or hour of the Lord's return. I remember when I first started going to a gospel preaching church, there was a dear brother. Everybody in the church respected him. He's been saved about 40 or 50 years. He said when he was just a young boy, they expected the Lord's return within the next 2 or 3 years. So everybody expected, well, another 2, 3 years, 4, 5 years, maybe at the longest, Jesus will be back. Nobody set any dates, no false prophecies, but anticipating the Lord's return. He's coming back. He's definitely coming back. But the Bible says right here, it will probably be later than what we expect. The wise Christians were wise because they had foresight and they were prepared to endure. The Bible tells us that our Christian walk is really a race, and it's a long-distance, cross-country race that requires endurance. We're going to have to endure. And you know why the wise endured and why the foolish did not endure? The wise took with them some extra oil. The foolish, since Jesus didn't come as quickly as they thought, that fire started to go out. But the ones that brought extra oil along, keep that fire burning. To be ready when Jesus comes, whenever it would be, they were ready when he came. And I want you to listen to this, because there are some opportunities that only come one time. And if you miss it, if you're not ready, well, that's an opportunity that's gone forever. And we're talking about right here, the context really is people missing the rapture. If the wise had foresight enough to bring oil, and the foolish didn't bring oil, so that shows they didn't have foresight. That shows why they did not endure. They did not endure, they did not keep that fire burning for the Lord, because they weren't prepared to do so. With all of the things that Jesus said would happen and is happening right before our very eyes, we see Matthew 24 unfolding right before our very eyes. Famines and earthquakes and rumors of wars of nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom and false prophets and false Christ and persecution and slothfulness. Everything unfolding right before our very eyes. We better take heed to what Jesus said in this parable about 50% of the overall. They were not ready to meet him when he came. Jesus said wickedness on top of everything else would abound, and because of that, love would grow cold. You're in a battle. You're battling all the time. Your mind keeps getting bombarded with all these temptations and frustration and discouragement and fear and doubt and everything else that the devil will throw at us. You tend to get a little weary if you don't keep getting back into the Word, if you don't keep fellowshipping with other Christians, if you don't stay on your knees, and if you don't keep praying out to God, and if you don't keep praising Him and worshiping Him and looking to Him. One step at a time, one inch at a time, you start very slowly to drift away. And you don't really even know it at first. Many would be deceived, Jesus said, by false prophets. Many would be deceived by false Christ. Many will fall away because of persecution. And here we find out that 50% their lamps will burn out. They'll not be ready when Jesus returns. I want you to hold your finger here. Jump with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." Here we go. Listen to this. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Jesus said, wickedness would increase. It will. And he said, these are some terrible times. Know it. Let's jump back to Matthew chapter 25. I want you please to notice what Jesus said to the foolish virgins in verse 12. They knocked on the door. Jesus came. They weren't ready. They weren't there. They finally arrived. They were knocking on the door. Open the door for us. Open up. And then this is what Jesus said. I tell you the truth, I do not know you. Now, I want you to please notice, he did not say, I never knew you. Jesus did not say to them, I never knew you. He did say that to a group in Matthew chapter 7. Turn there. Verse 23. He talked to a particular group of people. And he said to them, I never knew you. He's talking to a crowd that he once knew. But at this point in time, he no longer knew them. Notice that. He did not say, I never knew you. He said, I don't know you. Their lamps burn out. They were once saved. They fell away. They quote a scripture in John chapter 10, verse 28, that no man will pluck you out of my hand, Jesus said. Ah, see that? The verse before, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. As long as you keep following Jesus, nobody will pluck you out of his hand. But I want you to know that you can walk away like the prodigal son. The prodigal son walked away from the presence of the Father. Walked right away from the presence of the Father. And the Father let him go. Let him walk right away because God has given us free moral agency. God set this system up where if you have 6,000 demons, like the madman of Gadara, those 6,000 demons cannot stop you from coming to Jesus. But then on the other hand, if you're in the presence of the Father, like that prodigal son, and you no longer desire to be in His presence, and you want to go and be with the prostitutes like He wanted to be, He just got up and walked away, and the Father let Him go. And the Bible says, Jesus said to them, I know you not. They knew there was a bridegroom to meet, but they missed Him. They weren't ready to meet Him. How many? 50%. In our day and age, how many will be foolish? 50%. 50. Incredible. Incredible. And I want you to see something over here regarding these foolish virgins. Notice verse 8. This was their testimony. Our lamps are going out. Our lamps are going out. You see, they had a fire. They knew the lamps were going out. Maybe you walked in here this morning and your lamp is going out and you know your lamp is going out. I want you to know you better recharge. And you can do that fast. I'm going to show you what to do, how to recharge later. But I want you to know, if there's ever a point in time that this parable applies to any group of people, it's right now in our day and age. It's in our generation. It applies to us. Just like all these other prophecies Jesus said, they all came true. This one, likewise, is true. Obviously, famines, the earthquakes, rumors of wars and nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, false prophets and false Christ, apostasy, 50% of fire burning out. Perilous times. I want you to see that they were not fearful of being excluded when they first went out to meet the bridegroom. They weren't fearful, even considering the thought that they would not meet him. They weren't fearful at all. They never brought any extra oil, but the wise were more fearful. I'd like to make a point right here, and the point is, that if there's ever a day and age where people that are professing Christians lack the fear of the Lord, it has to be in our day and age. People, unfortunately, are not very fearful toward the Lord like we are commanded to be. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. The Bible says His wrath can flare up in a moment. Psalm 2, 11 and 12. The Bible says, and this is one of the keys in the Bible, Jeremiah 32, verse 40, it says that if you maintain the fear of the Lord, you won't ever turn away from Him. If you maintain fear of the Lord, you won't ever turn away from Him. But when your heart gets hard, the fear of the Lord just seems to diminish. But when your heart is right toward God, you have that fear of Him, that reverence toward Almighty God. The Bible says, first and foremost, we need to guard our hearts. Of first importance, not your body, as important as your body is. Of first importance is your heart, for out of it flows the wellsprings of life. I'd like to read a passage from the Amplified Bible. This is from Luke 21:34 from the Amplified Bible. Jesus said, "But take heed to yourselves and be on your guard, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed, weighed down with the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose." The context is this same subject, the Lord's return that we're reading of in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. Watch out, be careful, be on your toes, be alert, because the worries of this life, the cares of this life will come to you, and it will work on your heart in such a way that it will adversely affect you, and God forbid, but you might be one of the 50% that the lamp burns out. That's why it's so important for us to have fellowship. One of the reasons why we have fellowship after the service is good for us just to get together and talk. We need to encourage one another, love one another, pray for one another, help one another out to hear the word. Psalm 73, we find out a man was being deceived, but when he went to the sanctuary and he considered the final destiny of the wicked, The Bible says he came to his senses. You know, we are all very frail, very frail. And we need to tread lightly, to walk humbly before our God, reverently. The best attitude to have, one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, I love, 1 Peter 1:17. The Bible says, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. That's a good attitude to have. Not to be caught up with the things of this life. And that way, the worries of this life and the cares of this life won't get to your heart and adversely affect you. If you realize you're just a stranger. This sister has a very nice guitar, but I want you to know that guitar isn't going to be in her possession forever. She might have a nice car, then again, she might not have a very nice car, but that won't be hers forever. That's right. And you might have a nice car, a nice job, a nice home, but that won't be yours forever. You're only a stranger in this life. You're only here for a short period of time. This is nothing but a test. This life is nothing but a test. Nothing but a test. We're to live our life as an alien, a stranger, a soldier, a warrior, Christ ambassador. Do all we can. Make the most of every opportunity. Help people find Jesus. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. Live for the Lord. If there was ever a generation, ever a group of people that this parable applies to, it's our generation. It's our generation. If it applies to our generation, what can I do so that I won't be one of the 50% that will have my lamp burn out? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, and if you have an ink pen or a pencil, maybe you should write some of these things down because I have a big long list. You can maybe write the references down and check them over later. Ephesians 4:27 is a good one to start with. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Ephesians 4:27. Do not give the devil a foothold. Don't give him a chance. When he starts to come through the door, kick the door shut, bar it, lock it. Don't give him a chance. Give him no chance. How about 1 Thessalonians 5:22? Abstain from all appearances of evil. All appearances of evil. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Give no place to the devil. Abstain from all appearances of evil. How about this one? Test everything and everyone, since Jesus said there would be many false prophets and many false Christs. You better be alert. You better study the scriptures. You better know what's going on, because Jesus said there would be great deception, much false doctrine. So you better test. Put to the test, the Greek says. Everyone and everything. Visions, dreams, miracles, teachers on the TV, on the radio, that stand behind the pulpit, me, any teacher, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, which is final authority, don't believe it. What else? I mentioned 1 Peter 1:17. Adopt the attitude. Live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. That's the kind of attitude to have. 1 Peter 5, 8, 9. Be alert and self-controlled, because your enemy, the devil, he's your enemy. He's prowling around like a roaring lion trying to devour people. You better be alert and self-controlled. You know those five foolish virgins? They were not alert and self-controlled, and they got devoured. Maintain the fear of the Lord, Jeremiah 32, verse 40, and make sure that you're forgiving toward others. One of the characteristic signs I read from 2 Timothy chapter 3 is unforgiveness. In our day and age, one of the characteristic signs is people will be unforgiving. You better be forgiving, because the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive your sins. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's talking about your Father now. You see, this isn't referring to the unsaved. This is referring to the Christian here, because the father of the unsaved is the devil. This is referring to the Christians. Mm-hmm. You forgive those that offend you, that did things against you, because that's how you did things against God Almighty when you sinned against Him. You forgive them so God can forgive you. Finally, I'd like to say this. The book of Hebrews is a very important book, written during the time when there was persecution. And in this particular book, we find out what the Holy Spirit had to say to people undergoing great persecution, how they can endure. And it's laid out in no uncertain terms for us. I like what we read in chapter 12. So I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Did you know it's possible to grow weary and lose heart? What's the antidote? Consider Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And I want you to grab hold of something else that goes hand in hand with this. And by the way, to fix your eyes on Jesus means you're going to have to not have your eyes fixed on the circumstances of this world and your life. You're thinking beyond the grave. You're thinking beyond the grave because you know the grave is not the end. It's not the end. It's not the end. It's not the end. Back up to chapter 11. Same book. Still written to people that were undergoing great persecution. It was rough for them. In chapter 11, verses 15 and 16, we read this. The Holy Spirit said this. If they, and if you check the context, you'll find out we're talking about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Verse 15. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, that is, instead of thinking what they left behind in their old life, when they walked after the course of this world and when they were controlled by the sinful nature, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. You hear in the Bible, where the one true God of the Bible is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right here's why. They were longing for a better country. I want you to know that He's the God of Debbie. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Debbie, and Jane, and Judy, and Peggy, and anyone else that's looking beyond the grave, longing for that better country. I want you to know we have better days ahead than just what's right here. Are you listening to me? We get better days ahead. The Bible talks about, and I read it this morning in Matthew 25, I read about the wedding banquet. I mean to tell you, that will be a time. We have that, and I want you to know that's just the very beginning. That's just the very beginning what God has laid out for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I need to tell you, thank you, Jesus. It's worth it all. Paul, who went through 1,000 times more than any of us, 1,000 times more, he said, we cannot compare the sufferings of this present life to the glory that shall be revealed in us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Glory be to God. Think beyond the grave. Think beyond the grave. Think beyond the grave. I want you to know, and I say this because there are so many people that come here that are single. I want you to listen to this. When I left the Catholic Church, I went inside the first Protestant church. There was a girl that was more zealous than a pastor. More zealous than a pastor. Strange as that might sound. And because of two reasons, she fell away. Her lamp burned out. You know what the two reasons were? Number one, unforgiveness crept in. That's one of the major tools. And number two, she wanted to get married really bad. And she went out to the world to hunt up a husband. The devil will dangle any kind of thought before you, put any kind of thought in your mind. I want you to know, listen to me, married or not, you got the best thing going. You got Jesus. Glory to God. You have Jesus. You have eternal life. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. Think beyond the grave. Glory be to God. And know that the devil will give you thoughts like that. Hallelujah. Make the most of every opportunity. This is only a short life. The Bible says your life is but a mist compared to all eternity. All eternity. All eternity we have ahead of us. All eternity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. This might not be our day, but our day's coming. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our day is coming because of what Jesus did for us. Thank you, Jesus. But right now, he said, just like birth pains in a pregnant woman. And those of you that are mothers here, you know what that's like? The pains come more and more frequently. They're more and more severe. And Jesus said, that's how it will be up until the time of his return. I say all that because a lot of people think it's going to be getting better and better and better and better. And the Bible teaches exactly the opposite.